today we're going to be talking about anger. Do you realize that anger is not bad or good? That anger is neutral because anger is merely an emotion.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, Straight Talk listeners. This is Pastor Mark Jobe. And I just want to say that in Chicago during the summers, it becomes a very, very violent time. We've had so many shootings since the beginning of this year. People know Chicago as one of the most dangerous places for young people to live in. We are trying to make a difference. About a decade ago, I helped start an organization called New Life Centers. New Life Center's specialty is to work with at-risk youth. We have mentors working with young people that are gang-affiliated, giving them some positive examples and working with their families, their school, to get them out of a lifestyle of violence and put them on a right path. So I would like for you to pray for Chicago, and if you would like to get involved with our New Life Centers by donating or by volunteering, please log on to our website at www.newlifecenters.org. That's newlifecenters.org. Your participation can make a difference in the life of a young person.
Indeed. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Pastor Mark is beginning a brand new series today entitled Emotional Intelligence. All the emotions God gave us, in essence, are neutral. They're not good. They're not bad. It's what we do with these emotions that become good or bad, and how we allow these emotions to evolve. Our text will be found in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Here's Pastor Mark with his message called Taming Anger.
I think before we get started in this series called Emotional Intelligence, I have to say that I know that in this auditorium there are people on two extremes of the pendulum when it comes to emotions. There are some of you here that are super emotional. You are very in touch with your feelings. You make most of your decisions based on feelings. Your emotional nature, it affects the way you worship. You're not very subdued in your worship. You're all out. It affects the way you do Valentine's. You've already bought a Valentine's card and chocolates and can't wait to give it. And you have a long, mushy note that you've put in there because you're in touch with your feelings. You see chick flicks and you cry openly about when you watch them. I mean, you're in touch with your feelings. You make decisions based on that. And you're very emotive in every area of your life. And you trust feelings and go by feelings and lead your life oftentimes by feelings. Then on the other side of the pendulum, there's those of you that have a strong distrust of feelings. You suppress your feelings. You're much more cerebral in the way you make decisions. Some people would call you stoic because you don't like to show your feelings. It comes out in the way you worship. It comes out in the way you marry. It comes out in the way you express yourself. I know that kind because anytime you go to hug them, it's like hugging a Borg. It's like, all right, I got to hug, so like this. And so you know, and sometimes it's the way you're wired, your personality. Sometimes it's the way you were raised. Sometimes it has to do with certain learned behaviors that you've taken on over the years. And so the question is, which is right? Is it all feelings, or is it all brains and head and intellect and just non-emotional? What is the right way to operate our lives? Well, I think in order to find the answer, we have to go to Scripture and look at the way that God originally designed us. Now, if you look at the very beginning, here's what we need to understand. We were created in the image of God. The way that we're wired is wired after the Creator Himself. God gets angry. Did you know that? God gets sad. God gets happy. He gets excited. He gets impatient. All of those emotions that you and I feel at times, they're already in God because God is the author of emotion, and therefore God has given us emotions. So all of the emotions that you feel right now, all of the emotions that you've been through throughout this week or in this last year, God is the one that created you to feel those emotions because he himself is a God with emotions. Now, having said that, whatever God creates, he creates good. We can pervert the good that God creates, but he creates it for a purpose. So some of you may not never have thought of that. Today we're going to be talking about anger. Do you realize that anger is not bad or good? That anger is neutral because anger is merely an emotion. It's what happens in our anger that can be good or bad. God gets angry and God does not sin. So what is anger? Well, it's an emotion. What kind of emotion is it? Well, anger is this strong emotion accompanied by feelings of strong burst of energy. It can be characterized by great displeasure, indignation, hostility, wrath, and at some times even rage. When you feel angry, we have a lot of characterizations of people that get angry, right? From blowing their lid off to the big red face, or steam coming out of someone's head. What we know is that when you get angry, there's this bent up energy that wants to explode out of you that is there. You want to do something with that energy. Now, there's good anger and there's bad anger. Anger is just an emotion. So the anger can turn into a constructive force or a destructive force. For example, let me give you a constructive, positive example of anger. I saw a while back on television a program. I believe the reporter was John Quinones, and they were doing a program on how people respond. What would people do? And the program is built around the idea of they create sort of these mock scenarios with actors, and the people around them don't know they're actors. They think it's real situations, and how do people respond? In this scenario, they had hired an actor, a big man, that was actually intimidating a woman on a park bench, and he was shaking her and verbally abusing her. Now, they were actors, but the people walking by did not know they were actors. And most people walked by and tried to stay out of their way and did nothing about it. But one little lady walked by, a lot smaller than the big, strong guy that was intimidating this woman. And she walked by and stopped, and she saw what was going on, and she confronted the individual. "You should leave this woman alone. What are you doing? I'm going to call the police now." You could tell as she talked that she was getting more and more angry. And finally, she's standing between this big guy and this woman. He towers 2 or 3 feet above her, but she's got a finger shaking in his face. "Leave this woman alone. You better not touch her. I will call the police." She was angry, and in her anger, she took action for justice. Now, that's a positive. Now, I'm sure if she had not become angry, she probably wouldn't have dared to confront this big guy. But there's something about anger that gives you this confidence and boldness and burst of energy to do things that normally you would not do. That's a positive example of anger. Think about, as you read the Bible, Jesus, when he first started his ministry, he walked into the temple grounds, and there were money changers in the temple grounds. The money changers, what they would do is they would sell animals, but they would also exchange foreign currency for the currency that was used in Jerusalem. But they would exchange the currency at a high price tag. So basically, they would take advantage of people that had traveled from other lands, long distances, these pilgrims that had come to worship at the temple. They would take advantage of the fact that they didn't have currency in the Jerusalem money, and they exchange it for a high commission rate. When Jesus went in there, he saw what the money changers were doing to the poor pilgrims that were coming to worship, and his anger surged. It says, in fact, that Jesus, who's called oftentimes meek and mild, gentle of spirit, this Jesus is flipping over tables, knocking tables over, driving animals out with a whip, scaring people out of the temple and declaring, "This is the house of God. The house of God will not be a den of robbers. It will be a house of prayer for all the nations." Now, where'd that come from? That came from holy anger. Holy anger. Listen, there are times, positive, constructive, there are times when anger can be used to change things that should be changed. It's a positive burst of energy that says, "I want this change. It is not right the way it is, and it should change." On the other hand, most of the time, our anger is not righteous anger. Most of the time, our anger is destructive anger, revolving not around injustice, but revolving around selfishness, our desire to control, and our frustration with the way things are around us. How about it? Think about the last time you got angry. Was it a righteous anger or was it a selfish anger? Come on, be honest. This morning when someone wasn't letting you in the bathroom, you had to get ready, and you're knocking at the door, "Hurry up. How many times can you curl your hair? What are you doing in there anyways? I need to get ready." I mean, seriously, was it righteous or unrighteous anger? So, as we look at James chapter 1, that's the passage we're going to springboard off of. James chapter 1, I want to look at verses 19 through 21 as we talk about this whole idea of anger.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Taming Anger, which is from our current series called Emotional Intelligence. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Our message, Taming Anger.
It tells us in James 1, verse 19, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Powerful passage. Let's break it down for a second so that we understand it. I'm talking about James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. First of all, let's look at destructive anger and what it does. I don't know if you ever saw the sitcom or series called The Incredible Hulk. Now, the main character in The Incredible Hulk was a fellow by the name of Dr. Daniel Banner. Now, he was a scientist in some sort of gone bad scientific experiment. Had an effect on him so that every time he became angry, something would begin to happen. Not only would his emotions surge, but he would have had a physiological change that would happen. And suddenly this mild-mannered Dr. Banner would suddenly begin to bulk up. His pants and shirts would split. His eyes would turn green. He would turn into this muscle-bound monster of a Hulk that would damage anything in front of it. And if you were a person, he could throw you around like a little rag doll, because rage would take over. The monster would come out, and you could never anticipate what the monster would do. The following day or morning, when he would wake up from his rage and tattered clothes, he would regret, barely could remember what he had done, but he would regret the damage that had occurred. He could tell when he was starting to go into this rage, and he would warn people, "Don't get me mad, don't get me angry. The beast comes out in me." This doctor was not that far-fetched from what you and I experience sometimes. Oh, have you ever had that green monster pop up in your life? Have you ever warned someone, "Don't get me angry"? You don't want to go there. This could get ugly. You don't want to see that side of me. Don't push me. Don't push me there. Because you know that when that monster emerges and it explodes and goes out, you say things that normally you wouldn't. You do things that normally you wouldn't. You go into this rage like the great Hulk does. You do things, hit things. There's energy there. You can't control yourself. And then after, a couple of hours later, oh, the regret that's there. How could have I done that? I'm sorry, that really wasn't me. I apologize. Really, I don't know what happened. I don't know what came over me. It's just my anger. That incredible Hulk inside of us. So let's look for a moment at where destructive anger comes from and what it does. James says, hey, I want you to know this. Listen, every one of you needs to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Most of us have it all opposite. We're quick to speak, slow to listen, and quick to become angry. Have you ever noticed that he says slow to speak and quick to listen? Quick to listen, slow to speak. That's why you have two ears and one mouth. So you can listen double than what you speak, right? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why slow to become angry? Because when you become angry, man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. When you become angry, typically, you misalign yourself with the will of God. You do things and say things and behave in ways that are not in line in the center of the purposes of God. Oftentimes, you've worked, for example, I recently talked to a fellow that came to me and was all broken up. And I said, "What happened?" He said, "You know what? I'm at this job. I've been witnessing to my coworkers. They know I'm a Christian. I've been talking to them, inviting them to church. And one of my coworkers just pushed my buttons too far." And he said, "I'm embarrassed to say I just flew off the handle. I mean, I said things and swore. I was just out of control. And they all know that I'm a Christian. And now I have to face them on Monday. But after all the work I've done to try to tell them about Jesus and God, one, two moments of just losing it, I feel like I've lost all this ground." How many of you know what he's talking about? That's what happens with anger, right? A green monster. So what I've discovered is that what James is telling us is that typically when we're angry, we do not do the will of God. What brings out the Hulk in us? 90% of the times, there are two things that we get angry about. Two underlying causes. Number one, frustration. I'm not happy with how things are. I'm frustrated, so therefore I become angry. And secondly, control. I can't steer or affect how things are going, so therefore I become angry to try to control things. Frustration. It may be you're frustrated over how the person is driving in front of you. and you're in a hurry, and they just, where did they buy their license again? Who taught them how to drive? They shouldn't be on the road. Honk, honk, honk. What's going on? You start yelling at yourself within the car and doing gestures that you shouldn't do. And why? Because you're frustrated that things aren't going the way they should be going. You're at work and the project's going slower. People make mistakes and suddenly you blow up because it's just taking too long. You lose your patience and you're frustrated that things aren't going the way they should be going. Or you feel like you're losing control over something. You cannot manage the outcome of it. And so you become angry and explode in order to try to control the outcome. Now this leads to three destructive behaviors or results of anger that's destructive. This is what it looks like. Number one, destructive anger suppresses choice. When you're angry, we tend to intimidate others and in turn do not allow them to be themselves. This is how it goes, folks. You're talking with your wife, driving in the car, and she starts telling you that she thinks it was a bad choice for you to put money on the Bears 2 weeks ago because you lost the bet. And you're trying to tell her that you don't think it was a bad thing, that you're a diehard Bears fan, your parents have been, you think it was a good financial investment. She's saying we're short on rent and cash. Please don't do that again with our money. You're trying to tell her it was a done deal. It's just a stinking quarterback. If he would have only done what he should have done, that Cutler, if he would have just done what he should have done at the time he should have done it, you would have won, and it was a for sure investment, and you don't know. And she's saying, no, I'm just telling you. And so you're arguing back and forth in the car, but since she doesn't listen well and persist, finally the conversation escalates and escalates, and then at the moment where it's reached its tipping point, you slam on the brakes so that everybody in the car gets a little whiplash. And you raise your voice with bulging eyes and you raise your hand off the steering wheel and said, I made the right decision. All the kids who are in the back playing on their electronics look up and are quiet. She looks at you and crosses her arms. And for the next 5 minutes, it's absolutely total silence. And in your mind, you think, aha, I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. I shut her up. And that you did. But can I tell you, you shut her up at a very high price. Because although you may have achieved immediate results, you have created long-term damage. Sometimes in seeking a quick, immediate solution, we do damage in the long run. And although she has an opinion, she suppresses her opinion out of fear of the anger that surges inside of you. Now, you may have never touched her, you may have never raised your hand at her, but the threat of violence, the raising of the voice, the pounding of things, the gives her an understanding that you're out of control. And so you suppress, you quiet her voice, even though it's a dissenting voice. You shut her up, or you may do it with the children. You talk to the children and you say, go do this, and they don't listen. I'm going to count to three, and they don't listen. And finally, your fourth time around, they know finally when mom loses it and starts yelling and screaming and going after, now we better listen because mom's lost it. So you intimidate them out of fear, but they learn, they respond because you're angry. In turn, you start thinking that the only way you can get things done is becoming angry. And that way, you turn into this parent that the only way things get done at home is when you lose your temper. How many of you know what I'm talking about?
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago at our main campus, New Life Midway, with his message entitled, Taming Anger, from our current series, Emotional Intelligence. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.